The tank is full, and we're moving through the Arizona Hour with Sanderson Ford and Rosie on the house.
You ever watch the movie Tombstone?
Oh, yeah.
One of the most iconic scenes is when Doc Holliday's in a face-off with Johnny Ringo inside the saloon. And we always remember Val Kilmer, and after Johnny Ringo's done twirling his pistol all around and showing off, and Val Kilmer takes his whiskey glass and he's turning around, kind of being a smart aleck. You know, we always remember Val Kilmer. I mean, he knocked that role out as Doc Holliday. You know, like Johnny Ringo that he's facing off against? Well, Mr. Ringo got his education Lake Havasu, class of 74. He was just a little snot-nosed punk back then from, you know, what they say. I wasn't there. I don't know.
I was waiting for the tie-in. That was a good one.
Yeah, he made his debut in a role with Grease. And I've seen that maybe partially here and there. I can't picture him out of that. He was also Kyle Reese in Terminator. And got to start right here in Arizona, Lake Havasu City.
Mike Bean. Michael Bean, I believe, is how you
Thank
pronounce
you.
His name.
I never even said his name. He's Johnny smart. Ringo.
Yeah, he's just Johnny Ringo. And according to his bio, he said the best role he ever had in his career, Tombstone.
Tombstone. Yeah, he's Johnny Ringo forever, and Val Kilmer forever is Doc Holliday. Just they did such. Now, factually, you could pick that movie apart. Well, we're not going to do that. For the entertainment value, top notch.
Because I'm going to hijack the conversation here. We are changing gears. So going to do a little.
You can't shoot three shots out of a double barrel shotgun without reloading. Impossible.
Let it go, Ron.
And a six shooter still only has six bullets, not 19.
Artistic license.
So can I give my latest update on the National Hardware Show? Remember, a couple weeks ago, I came back and we had Sherry Hammond on. She was the inventor of the Storit Cabinet Caddy. And we both ordered them. I really like them. I'm looking forward to the next generation of them. But we had her on to tell her story about she and her dad are a team. And he's an engineer and she's an inventor. And while I was at the hardware show, I just spent a lot of time on. I visited the Inventor Corner twice. I just love it in there. It's just such a cool environment. Lots of entrepreneurial, creative people, and just trying to get their message across. So I was introduced to Brian Freed, who has agreed to come on and visit with us. And Brian is just. He's an amazing guy. He's very busy, I tell you that. He is kind of a creator. He is an inventor. He calls himself a serial inventor. He is an author. He is an inventor coach. And he is the executive director of United Inventors Association. So good morning, Brian. How are you today?
Good morning, Rosie. How are you?
I'm Jennifer. It's okay. I'll give you. And actually, just so you know, Rosie's my husband, and he is not here this morning, but he's listening in. So you can say hi, Rosie, too. Good morning, Rosie.
Okay.
So I just wanted to talk about this invention idea that hangs in everyone's head. Everybody is an inventor of some kind. And I'd like you to kind of tell your story. How did you get started inventing, Brian?
Well, I remember back in the day, I started to look at things and see things a little bit differently when I was a kid, kind of like ripping my toys apart, but not in a violent or aggressive way, but looking more at a point of how they were working and how they twisted and turned and seeing the mechanics of them. And I'm by no means an engineer at this point. I understand how to make things, but I am not. as I progressed in my life, and there's different stages that everybody has in their life. So I got married and I got a chance to see how my wife was doing things in the kitchen and how I might do things a little bit differently. And then I also had a kid, my daughter Alana, And as she was progressing in age, I started to, we have to buy things as parents. And I started to see how things were working and how they could be done differently. Or maybe there was something that wasn't done at all to be able to have a shot at putting it into market. So, or at least getting the process going of seeing if it is an opportunity. So
I'm hearing three things from you. You're creative, you're entrepreneurial, and you like to solve problems. And I think that fits,
right.
That describes a lot of people. So if someone has, one of our listeners has an idea, you know, how do they get started wondering, would this be something of interest? Can I invent this?
Sure. Well, just to put in premise, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be a doctor, a lawyer. You could be any type of profession. You could be unemployed. You can be a student. You could be a senior citizen. You could be, doesn't matter who you are. You're involved in some kind of environment, or you're doing things, going places, seeing things. And the difference between people who are inventors, everybody's really an inventor, because at one time or another, you did something and you probably felt like you could have made it better. But it's just the differences, the people that take a step back and say, you know what, I have something good here. Let me capture that idea and let's see what I can do next with it. So that's where it really starts. And then to be able to take you through the steps of what somebody needs to do, or different options of what they could do to try to get their product to market.
Okay, so as you're having this idea, now you're going to go forward, and how careful do you need to be about talking about this invention? Our youngest son, when he was about 8, he said, "You know, Mom, I'm going to invent this thing, and it's going to be a camera, and you're going to put it on your fishing pole, and you're going to be able to see what's under the water." You know, and now look where we are. every professional fishing boat has this camera, but for, you know, most people, they have an idea, they kind of throw it out there, and then. But how careful should you be if you're serious about your invention?
Sure. So you came up with this idea. Now you want to start talking. You're so excited. You're starting to get really emotionally attached to it. It's all that you're thinking about. It's just so exciting. And you want to start telling people. So at that point, I like to have what's called a non-disclosure agreement. And that basically says that I'm going to give you I'm going to have you sign something. And I'm going to ask you not to speak about it to anybody without my permission. So I start off with giving a non-disclosure agreement, otherwise known as an NDA. But what I really do first is, after I wrote that idea down, I go online. And let's say I come up with like a pen with a light on top, right? What I would do is I would go online and I would put in LED with light on top of pen, or pen with LED, or pencil with LED, or light bulb on top of pen. So what I'm doing is I'm just taking descriptive words, because that's how search engines are made up. They're made up of descriptive words in different pages of the websites. So I use Google, Yahoo, Bing. I find a couple of the search engines and I put in all these different variations
And so what are you looking for, Brian? You're looking to see if there's something out there similar, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of going through every page of the websites, what I do is there's a button on the top of the search that says images. So I'm a visual guy and it's a lot easier to look that way. So I'll look and see if there's things that are similar to mine that are out there. And if I hit a brick wall, I know it's exciting and you're emotionally attached to it, but I just move on to my next idea, unless I want to really go into my own business with it. And I can, as long as I'm not infringing on somebody else's intellectual property, their patent. But I'm going through and I'm visualizing and I see things that maybe are similar, maybe not. And that's where I start with. And I'm true to it, because a lot of inventors and people with ideas, they go to Walmart and they don't see their idea on the shelf. And they're like, oh my gosh, nobody in the world has this. I'm ready. And it's more than that. So do your research online. Capture the things that you think are similar to yours and save those URLs and start to make a list of them and search with your eyes open. Don't search with your eyes closed. And then we could talk about the next steps, what to do when you kind of know that there's something there that you can move on to the next step.
Yeah. So, you know, people are starting to think, okay, when, at what point does this start costing me money? And a point I've heard you say is, you know, it is a business. You have to, you're going to have to spend some money on it if you believe in it. So if you're going to invest in this, all this time and the things that have to be done, you really do have to know that you've got something that has a possibility. So the next thing would be making a prototype, and that could be as simple or as complicated, you know, as you want to spend the money on.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. But first, before you get there, that search is really important, because people end up skipping those steps of the search and go to making a prototype and starting to show their idea and making it sometimes before doing the simple step of searching. And the reason I'm saying that that's important is what I do is, and you can do this any way you want, but what I do from my experience is I do a patent search, and I pay somebody $550, $600, and they pull prior art from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office database, and then they look at what my description is and what my chicken scratch drawings are, and they're going to compare what's out there to what I have, and they're going to give me a patentability opinion to say that, is this something that you're able to protect? Is it something that you're going to be infringing on somebody else's intellectual property? And that really determines a lot of where my kind of like choose your own adventure is going to be. So once I do the patent search and I know that I am continuing, if it shows me clearly that I hit a brick wall, I move on to my next idea. But if it is something that has potential, most of the time I get a second opinion, but let's just say, let's go with the first one and keep going.
Okay.
What I do next is I end up having a CAD drawing done. It's computer assisted drawing, 3D files. Those are made up of what my, in my head to my chicken scratch now on the computer. And that file is available, is once you do that, and it depends on if you need a product designer or an engineer. Does your idea have twists and turns and gears and all this stuff that might need an engineer, or is it something that could just use the design work?
Well, one thing I know for sure, Brian, is we're not going to be able to tell everybody the whole process in the minute we have left, but I am so impressed by the amount of resources that you have available for someone who'd be interested. And I'll put it up on Facebook so anybody who's interested could find you. But you have coaching available. You have on that powerful website, the United Inventors Association, there are free forms, there's free resources. There are local clubs. I looked it up. I've spoken to the gal here in Phoenix. There is a local chapter where if you go once a month and you learn about inventing, and maybe you get to talk to people and throw out ideas. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. There is so much good information. You guys have made that really, really easy. And I wanted to mention your two books, You and Your Big Ideas. I love that title. And then Inventing Secrets Revealed. So those are just all kinds of resources. If you are listening and you have an inventor's heart, or you know someone who does, this is just a great resource for you.
Thank you. United Inventors Association, UIAUSA.org. Great resources, educational resources. Get involved in an inventor's club in your area. Make it happen. Keep on inventing.
Brian, Rosie and I were talking on air a couple weeks ago about power generation and what to do at nighttime, because you know we've got a lot of sun in Arizona. Solar is our topic in a couple hours. Here we'll have Sun Valley Solar on. And he came up with the idea on air that the problem, or that the solution to generating power at night, is we just need to invent lunar solar panels. Is that something that's been patented yet?
Well, I know a good patent agent and an attorney that can look up and see if it's available, at least, you know, with the intellectual property out there. But that's all it takes.
You'll be honest with us, won't you?
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Hang on. I want that attorney's number.